Blog Talk Radio.
Give me life, I'm gonna give my best. Greater is in me than what your eyes can see. My current situation is not the best of me. Not because you tried it and it never worked out. Don't try to
to discourage me, I'll fill me with doubt. Faith is the substance of things so far, and the evidence of things that I've not seen.
I'm gonna go higher, don't tell me that I can go higher. There's more than I desire. I'm gonna go higher, I'm on fire. I'm gonna go
tonight.
Let us tonight.
Let us tonight. not pray, you may not have much, but you're living day by day. You can't have faith and don't want to work. Get up off that seat and put that brain to work. Hey, hey,
it's a beautiful day. Yeah, it's a beautiful day. Hey, it's a beautiful day.
It may not be the way I want it to be, but I thank you for every situation that made me good and bad friends that came into my life and those who are still here today. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you.
Thank you for sunshine, thank you for rain, thank you for joy, thank you for pain. It's a beautiful day, beautiful day, it's a beautiful day. Don't put them by, let us unite, sing back one life. Oh, it's a beautiful day, yeah, it's a beautiful day.
Well, good evening, everyone, and praise the Lord, and welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio here on blogtalk.com. I'm your host this evening, Brother Mike, and tonight we're going to have a powerful teaching coming on generational curses. So for those of you out there listening, I encourage you, please grab the pen and paper. Get ready to take good notes and give commentary as we get ready to go ahead with our teaching for tonight, Generational Curses, by Brother Emma Overton.
Also, I forgot to tell my assistant pastor, we want to thank excuse me. I'm sorry. We want to thank the sponsors. Our Brother Mike, you may need to write this down so when you go back to intermission, you'll be to acknowledge them. Reverend D.W. Dawson, Reverend Francis Wallace.
Okay.
Reverend Johnny Calhoun.
All right.
Bishop Charles Mumford.
All right.
Okay, we ask everyone in the room to limit your questions to 2 to 3 minutes. We cannot go 5, 10, 15 minutes with one person. People want to talk to everybody. We got to do this in decent order. The other people have been trying to speak to myself, Brother John, Brother Mike, and then we just don't have enough time because it's clogged up with too much time with one question. So we need to let the Holy Spirit reveal to us what to say and, you know, just go by the Spirit and be conscious of the time. Okay, Mike, you need to give me a mic check. Can you count 1 to 10, please?
Mic check, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
All right, you're good. Okay, Brother John, can you give me 1 to 10, please?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Okay, all right. Big Mike, here's what we're going, because we're going live. I'm not recording this to put on the internet radio station. I already got this doctrine on there. But I'm going to need you to be online. Don't go away from the mic. If you got to, please let me know now, because I'm going to need you with some supporting scriptures.
Okay.
All right. We're going to get started. Okay. We want to welcome you to Live Deliverance Internet Radio. And we're coming from you live in Atlanta, Georgia. We're also in our Blog Talk radio room. We are hooked up with four churches. And we're going to do a volume series because of the information that this church wanted. Now, some of you may have heard of it, heard this before. Some of you may have not. But I have found out when you do recapitulate, people miss certain things. And when you go over something, you can really get a deeper revelation with it. We're going to be talking about generational curses. I am a cursologist. It's the study of curses. It's the first thing that the Lord taught me in the School of Deliverance. I graduated from the University of the Holy Ghost by the Godhead of Jesus of Nazareth, and my author has been Jesus of Nazareth. I humble myself to say this has been a wonderful journey. I've learned so much in this ministry. I've seen my faults. I've seen areas that hold me back because of generational curses. Before we get started, we're going to let Assistant Pastor Brother Mike introduce our sponsors and introduce who's going to be summarizing as soon as this is over with. And you can constantly call us, air code 646-378-1857. All right, Sister Jackson, I told you I was going to let you know out there in Oklahoma. I hear you. Get a pen and piece of paper. We want to bless the Jackson family for supporting this ministry. Okay, Brother Mike, let's roll with it.
Amen. All right, folks, we would like to thank the sponsors of tonight's teaching, Reverend D.W. Dalton, Reverend Francis Wallace, Reverend Donnie Calhoun, and Bishop Charles Mumford. And after tonight's teaching, we're going to have summarization by Pastor John Durden. He's going to give summarization of tonight's teaching.
Okay, Heavenly Father, Lord, we come in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, how that God has anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, and who has went out doing good and healing those who are oppressed of the devil. Father, we thank you for this revelation that you have laid way before me. We thank you for the pioneer, Derek Prince, of this revelation. Lord, we give our honor to you. We ask that the Holy Spirit use me by faith. Use me, Lord, as your oracle. Allow people to understand this teaching where they can apply it in their life and see changes through confession. We come up against any satanic force that will block or hinder anyone to hear this. We come up against spirits of slumber. The Lord has said to me there is a person in the radio station who just don't have a drive to read the word. It's not a drive there. Air code 714, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
The Lord put in my heart, this is live, we're doing a word of knowledge just kicked in before I teach. Are you having problems like when you read the Bible? Do you find that it's hard to read and you're not motivated by it?
Yeah, I mean, like as soon as you said that, there's someone, like, I mean, I thought that's me instantly.
Okay, well, that is you. So what we're going to do is after this teaching is over, stay in the room. This is going to be a live deliverance. Cyber members are first. They tithers, they're church members. They sow seeds into this ministry. And we're going to take care of everybody. God shows no respect to person, but I have to feed my flock. And I know people come in from different churches, and we welcome that. We're here to teach. Your pastor, he loves his flock. I love mine, too. And I love you, too. So we're going to make sure that we have an open deliverance. A live deliverance ministry is open to cyber members and non-cyber members through the time of deliverance. So stay in the room, brother. Okay?
Okay. Yeah, I will.
All right. Generational curses. There is a lot to be said about this topic. And because the enemy does everything he can to block revelation that can help people. And there are some basic stuff in this that can really help you change your life. Also, the Lord put upon my heart to give out some scriptures if any of you dealing with certain topics that I'm going to name. And then we're going to start this pilgrimage with the teaching of generational curses. If any of you are dealing with depression and you come under attack with that, please go to Ephesians 6:11. Also go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Also go to Psalms 138, verse 3. And go to Romans chapter 8, verse 35. If any of you are coming under attack and are having family problems, here are some scriptures that can guide you through this area of having problems and get free from it. You see, Christianity is about getting free from bondage. It is about understanding that you have a lot of freedom in Christ, But you got to understand the doctrines that Christ has in order to get free. And there's not a lot of churches that's on the doctrine of dealing with curses. And I thank these churches tonight who have opened up their heart with their members listening to me live and learning these things that come out of the scripture. Family problems, Psalms 127, verse 1. We have a packed house, 404-775-845-714, 876-876-876-876. And inside out, outside in is going to be ready for doing some questions and answers tonight, and we're going to have a wonderful time. Family problems, Isaiah chapter 32, verse 17 and 18. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25. Psalms chapter 34, verse 7. Heirs of fear, Psalms 34, verse 4. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 and 5. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 2. For born-again new Christians to feed off on, Romans 3, 23. John 3:16, 1 John 1:9, Romans 10:9-10, this is for salvation, 2 Corinthians 5:17, Luke 15:1. Healing for a loved one, whether it's demonic healing or spiritual healing, from health, healing for a loved one. Jeremiah 32:17, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, 1 John 3:8, Matthew 18:18-20, healing for yourself, Psalms chapter 91, verse 14-16, 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Psalms chapter 118, verse 17. If you're having job problems and you need a job for born-again Christians, Psalms 55, verse 22. James 3:16, John 16:33, Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10-13. Mental problems from the demonic, from the mind. Psalms 127, verse 1. Luke 1:37. Psalms chapter 46, verse 1. Isaiah chapter 32, verse 17-18. Proverbs chapter 2, 10-11. Salvation of a loved one. God promised everybody in your home that they'll get saved. It is your job to intercede for the loved ones that you want to get saved. Don't preach to them because the prophet's not honored their own home. Let somebody else do it. 2 Peter 3, 9. Acts 16:31. Psalms 37, verse 4 and 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 3-5. Seeking employment. There are some out here that trying to seek employment. Big Mike, give me 845. I got word of knowledge for 845. Eight
845.
God bless you, brother. How's it going?
Hey, brother, how you doing?
I'm doing lovely, brother. God is good. I can't complain.
I got some word of knowledge for you. When you are seeking employment, the Lord wants to bless you with a better job. And use these scriptures and read them 3 times a day. You ready?
Yes, sir.
And you are looking for another job, am I correct?
In a sense, in my heart, I would like a better job, or just something else. I just want to go wherever God wants me to go, but you know what I mean, like.
All right, use these scriptures, and they'll get you in the right direction. Here.
Yes, sir.
Ready?
Yes.
Psalms chapter, write this down.
Okay.
Oh, yes, right. And say them 3 times a day. Any of you who are listening to me, you're seeking employment, use the word. You ain't got to go pay Gene Dixon no money, them demons. You use the word. The word is very, very powerful. It breaks curses. Demons can be cast out by the word. Okay, you ready? Psalms chapter 5, verse 12. James chapter 1, 5 through 6.
James 1, 5 through 6.
Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. And Psalms chapter 37, verse 23.
Hold on, the last one was Philippians 4?
4:19, Philippians 4:19.
Okay.
And the last one is Psalms chapter 37, verse 23.
Okay, Psalms 37, verse 23.
Then go to 2 Peter 3:9. After 2 Peter 3:9, then go to Acts 16:31.
Okay, Acts 16:31.
1 Peter 3, 1 through 2.
Okay.
1 Peter 3, verse 7. And have you been asking God to give you wisdom?
Yes, I was. I was actually asking to give me wisdom earlier, too.
Okay, he just told that to me. Here, meditate on this. Go to Psalms chapter 37, verse
37, verse 23. Okay.
Then go to Proverbs 16:3.
Proverbs 16:3.
Okay. Lord be blessed.
Thank you, Brother Emmett. Thank you, Aaron Boyd.
Thank you. There you go. There you go. You're a good man. You're a good man. You just protected me. Thank you.
Yes, sir. You know,
love you, man.
You know I got to do it. I love you too,
amen. Brother. Amen. Amen. If any of you dealing with witchcraft and you want to come up against it, if you feel that someone is attacking you through witchcraft, conjurum spells, love potions, spill milk, spill salt, grinds, tea leaves, crystal balls, automatic handwriting analysis, pendulums, Rosicrucianism, you can break that by Luke chapter 10, verse 18 through 19. James chapter 4, verse 7 can break witchcraft and satanic curses. Matthew chapter 18:19. And Mark chapter 3:27. There's someone's worrying that's listening to me. Study Matthew chapter 6. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Don't do that. All right, blessing and cursing. This topic is an amazing teaching. It's just so long, and it covers so much. So I'm going to go in faith and ask the Holy Spirit, because I don't really believe in teaching anything out of my natural mind. Big Mike, give me Luke 12:11 and Mark 13:11.
All right. Luke 12:11. And when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say.
Hold up. I ain't supposed to think, right?
No, sir.
It says, take ye no thought.
And this is why
the word of God can't flow freely through pastors, because they block it through their teaching from their mind and their emotion. Give me Mark 13:11.
But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought there. Take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do ye premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost.
So we're going to let the Holy Ghost do that tonight. Blessing and cursing, Deuteronomy 13:19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death. Now, God has set before all of us life and death. And you know what? Sometimes we choose death more than we choose life of our choices. And sometimes we are wondering, why are we doing what we're doing? Have you ever considered you may be on a curse and this is why you can't progress? That you tithe your money, you still don't have any money. That you get a job and you lose it. You get a job and you use it. Every 3 months, you're breaking something on your arm, your leg. You've had a miscarriage. These are symptoms and signs of a curse. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Thy seed may live. The seed of Jesus, when it dwells in us, we have accepted him as our Lord and Savior. But if we are not acknowledgeable of the bloodline curses that run through our mothers and fathers from rejecting God's word, we have to ask God and he will release it. You have not because you what? Ask not. Knowledge is very powerful. My people are destroyed. And the reason why that a lot of people don't understand this powerful biblical teaching is because there's a lack of knowledge in it. Now, I've done this before on the internet, but not with four churches. I've done it just with maybe 120-some people, but we got a lot of people tonight, and the Lord wants to bless everyone, not just because it's a lot of people, but there's so much to cover, and I want you to go for this journey. Notice he says, both thou and thy seed. You have a seed in your bloodline that can be blessed or cursed. Now, to reverse that, to show you the cursed side of the seed, that's in Romans 9:28. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not counted of God. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. That's Jesus, that's us. So when we have curses on us, sometimes we don't even know, and that we're not familiar with what the Bible says about anything about generational curses. Have you ever went to a church and you heard that at a Baptist church? No. I never heard this doctrine in a Catholic church when I was Catholic. I didn't even hear that much with Fellowship of Faith, and I love my pastor. They taught on it, but not as in-depth as the God has given me through this. Now, to understand biblical curses, I ask that you, and I tell all of you, to get a book, Blessing and Curses by Derek Prince. Get books on generational curses by John Eckhart. Live Deliverance Internet Radio will have a book that will be in print coming soon. By faith, God has given me the doctrine and the teachings from the doctrine of generational curses and other things, and put in a package where people can read this stuff and get an understanding to get free. A curse, penalty that we have to pay when we break the law of God. It's that simple. That simple. Now, God can put a curse on you too. Big Mike, give me Psalm 37:22. God can put a curse on you too. Did you know that? The Bible says that God can put a curse. Oh, why would he put a curse on you? You ask God that. Don't ask me. But the Bible says that. We're going to explore everything that the scripture says throughout this series on generational curses. Okay, Mike, you got Psalm 37:22?
Yes, sir. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off.
Cursed of who? God? Did it say that,
yes,
Big Mike? See there?
For such as be
cursed
blessed
of him
shall inherit the earth. Yep.
You see, you got to be doing something really messed up for God to curse you. Oh, boy. A curse is always designed to empower failure. And we don't understand why we are failing in our lives. Why you can't get ahead. Why you always lacking. Why is it that you get diabetes, your uncle gets it, and your mama got it, your grandma, and everybody, every two and three generations got diabetes, Alzheimer's. All these are curses in a bloodline of people. And nobody knows anything about it. You can save thousands of dollars by breaking curses and going to a medical shrink doctor. A blessing is designed to empower and make people be succeeded and to succeed as they obey the laws of God that they follow or they're supposed to follow. So when we don't obey these laws, all kind of consequences to happen. There can be curses in people who are related and they cannot contact the Holy Spirit. I've had people whose mother was into Satanism and their grandmother was into Satanism. And this thing was so deep, the person could never pray in tongues. And the Lord gave us a revelation. It's a curse. And as we broke generational curses and we sent them all the way back to Adam and Eve, this woman was able to receive the power of the Holy Ghost in the utterance of speaking in tongues. I have seen it. This is real. Why is it in the Bible that God says something about the word blessed so many times? Do you know that that is in the Bible 430 times? So there's a lot God has to say about something. So take the time and get a concordance and look under every word that says bless. Take the time and look under the word curse. The scriptures has a lot to say about that. Not more than it does with blessing, but it's about a third, which is 160 times it speaks of it. That's a lot of times God is trying to communicate. Now, I want to begin in giving you the history of curses. And I'm going to let you guys go write this down. Big Mike going to read some of them, not all of them, because we will be here all day. There's a lot to cover, so we're going to do some of them. Here is a reason for curses. Okay, Big Mike, give me Daniel 9:11, and then after that, you give me the Cleveland Brown. Oh, I'm sorry, Big Mike. You caught that one, didn't you, Big Mike?
Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him.
That is the only reason why we get curses. But you may have curses on you that you ain't got nothing to do with. Freemasonry brings a lot of curses. Eastern Stars, Kappa Alpha Psi, Phi Nu Pi Nupes, Omega Psi Phi, Alpha Phi, all these secret organizations are cursed because you're trying to do something in secret as God can't see it. Be Mike, give me Deuteronomy 11, chapter 11, chapter 26 through 28. Deuteronomy 11, 26 through 28.
Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse, a blessing, if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse, if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods, which ye have not known.
Now, everyone see... Okay, is this a simple teaching, Mike? Is this complicated?
It's simple.
Hang on, wait 1 minute. Okay, I'm so sorry. Now, let's look at someone knocked on the door. I left my some stuff outside. Okay, let's look at Deuteronomy, and we're not going to read the whole thing because it is a lot to cover. But what we're going to look at is that the Bible speaks of many curses that's listed in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28. See, I want to teach this so you all of you can go back as you listen to this. Please go study this so the Lord can talk to you. As you read in this, the Lord can reveal to you many, many things. All right, Big Mike, when I tell you to stop, stop. Start off at Deuteronomy 28 and read 1 through verse 8, and we'll be through with it. Let them hear how serious this is.
The blessings or the curses. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee, and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy storehouse. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways.
Now what? If you keep reading, you're going to see where it's going to say being disobedient. So I want everybody to study what? Deuteronomy chapter 28. Now, this is very simple because this is volume one. And this is these churches are taking their time to give us this opportunity to help them. So I want all of you to bear with me. You may have heard some of this before. You may have not. But it doesn't hurt to recapitulate. Amen? All right. Now, we need to look at the first curse in the Bible. Where is the first curse at in the Bible? The first curse is in Genesis 3:14. Read Genesis 3:14, Big Mike.
All right. Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life.
That was a curse, wasn't it, Mike?
Yes, sir.
That wasn't that a curse? Okay. Now, the reason why women bear pain in giving birth is because of the fall of the first mother. You said we're not going to read that one, so you just go to Genesis 3:16 and read that one. Then man, he got the curse because he has to work. That's why he got a curse. If a man shall not eat, he shall not work. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. That's in Genesis 3:17-19. Now, I want you to know that your enemy, Satan, who know more about curses than you, which is sad. Big Mike, can you hear me? Big Mike, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
If the devil knew more about curses more than a Christian, who you think to have the advantage?
But until the Christians learn what curses are, then they gain upper hand.
Exactly. Now, because of ignorance, the devil takes advantage of that. Because of ignorance. In 2 Corinthians 2:11, he says, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." And you know what his devices is? Keep you out the word of God. Keep you from not knowing this. The devil most know about curses more than you. Let's look at this biblically. Big Mike, give me Job 1:11.
All right. Job 1:11. "But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face."
Now, how he know about the curse? How does the devil know about a curse? He saw it all. Now, if you have an apartment, you have a home, or wherever you at, bless your ground. You can take a curse and turn it into a blessing. Did you know that? Give me Deuteronomy 23:5, Big Mike. Deuteronomy 23:5, because I want to show property owners, if you're having demonic manifestations in your home, you're seeing objects, go and bless your ground based on Deuteronomy 23:5. Read that, Big Mike.
"Nevertheless, the Lord thy God would not hearken unto Balaam, but the Lord thy God turned the curse into a blessing unto thee, because the Lord thy God loved thee."
Now give me Genesis 5:29. And in Genesis 5:29, we're going to see here that the earth is cursed. So on your property, you can reverse any property. If you're a Christian, you rent there, you own it, and speak a blessing over it. And bless the ground. You have the authority to do that in the name of Jesus.
And he called his name Noah, saying, "This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed."
Who cursed it?
The Lord.
Now, who can take a curse and turn it into a blessing?
The Lord.
That's right. So since he can do that, let's go to Isaiah 24:6. This is teaching on curseologists. Curseology is the study of curses.
All right. "Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left."
Now you can break anything that you have, satanic symbols in your house, get rid of it, rebuke it, turn the curse into a blessing, and bless your home. All right. Now, I'm going to speak and teach you on something that a lot of people may know and may not know. What curses do. And then we're going to show you how most Christians speak curses on themselves every day by what they say. They're called spoken curses. Oh, we're going to get to it all, but we may not be able to get to it all tonight because I'm going to run this thing until the Lord tells me not to run it anymore. Now, write this down. Frequent occurring sins of the fathers that can open up a door to curses. If any man has a child by birth and he didn't have it in marriage, it is a bastard. And it can't come into the congregation of the Lord, not even 10 generations. It can't enter. And there are many Christians who is participating in services on the wrong day. Sunday is the wrong day of worship. Do you know that if you heard that guy from Finland, he said the Lord Jesus healed him on the Sabbath. The Lord could have healed him Sunday. The Lord could have healed him Monday. Y'all better start. Y'all, I'm from the South. This ain't analytical. This is not nowhere in England. Y'all better listen to me. I have broken curses on the Sabbath and seen powerful results. So if a man doesn't take care of his children, he has a curse on him. And I'm going to say this as an African-American Christian. I'm a Christian, but I'm African-American by descent. In our culture, too many of you black men shooting sperm in a child and you walk away and you don't take care of it. Anybody can do that, you old sperm shooter. The poor girl don't have directions because she don't have a father. She ain't never seen no father. She don't know what no father is. These have these curses keep circling around in the community. Ignorance. But you still go to Bloomsburg Baptist Church where I say Jesus. And now today, God bless Sisters Dr. Theodore Melkerson here. And I'm very elated to be here at the Church of God here at the Pilgrims. All these men of God here on the right say, bless you. See, all that religion brings curses. Anytime a man does not take care of his children, he or she comes under a curse. And God does not even look at you as a believer. As a matter of fact, the Bible says he see you as an infidel. This is deep, man. Big Mike, give me 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. You see, this is what needs to be taught on church and then leadership. We got too many leadership conferences. Everybody's in the leadership. We got too much faith teaching, speaking and exist. Break some curses so we can get off you. 1 Timothy 5:8, Big Mike.
But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel.
He hath denied the faith. If any does not provide for his own, he is worse than an infidel. Whether you married, you have stepchildren, you are required by God to take care of them. You made the vow to God, whether he or she is not acting right, you better look at the covenant you made with God before you go into a curse. I did not know this. If I would have known this, I would never been divorced. But thank God for mercy and grace. Amen? You are an infidel if you don't take care of your children. And there's a lot of people out here that have that curse under them. Alcoholism. Your daddy drank. Your granddaddy drank. Look at the bloodline. Emotional abuse. Physical abuse, addictions, anger, the curse of anger. Lord have mercy, Jesus. We did a teaching on that. Now, this is a curse. The Bible speaks of the curse of anger. Big Mike, go to Google. We live. I hear the curse of anger. Pull up the curse of anger. Where is that in the Bible? I think it's in Genesis.
All right.
Rage. Yeah, go ahead. I'll be still doing this while you find it. Violence. Control. That's a curse. Manipulation. emotional dependency on a person. That's a curse. Fears of all kinds. Ain't nothing but a curse. I saw this lady. She said that she go to World Changes, and when she around me, oh, that's a snake. I said, they don't teach you nothing about the spirit of fear at World Changes. They teach you about fattening up your pocketbook, but you can't do nothing with this fear because this fear has gripped you. Why don't he go back over there and have them teach you about fear? And they looked at me like I was crazy. Physical infirmaries.
All right.
Can open. You got it, Mike?
Yep. Read it. Genesis chapter 49, verse 7. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel.
Cursed be their anger. Anger opens up a door to a curse. Now, Big Mike, that's my assistant pastor, he just said that. Read it again out loud so we don't have no deaf, dumb spirit blocking that.
Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel.
Rebellion opened up a door to curses, sexual sins and perversion, unbelief, witchcraft. Two kinds of witchcraft, spiritual and physical. Spiritual, 1 Corinthians 15:23, physical, Galatians 5:19-20. Occults and Satanism definitely opens up doors to curses. On the side of a curse, there's always going to be death. There will always be disease. There will always be a drought in a person's life. Never can get ahead. I mean, they get close, they lose the job. They make a lot of money, a hole in it. These are curses. Danger, destruction, and disgrace opens up nothing but curses. On the side of God and his kingdom opens up blessings, life, prosperity, abundance, safety, peace, rest, and happiness. Now, even Christ tells us that we are not supposed to speak curses on people. Did you know that Jesus has something in the Bible that says that? Let's look at this. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 and 44, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you. You say, I come in the name of Jesus against anyone who have spoken a curse on me or myself. And I ask that you forgive me in the name of Jesus, Lord, and I send it back to the sender. That's what you got to say. Now, curses just don't come. They just don't pop up. Oh, here I am. I decide to come. That's not how it works. Well, you may say, Pastor, well, how does this work? What does the Bible say is how a curse comes? Very simple. The Bible is very simple for the simplicity of the believer. Nothing's difficult because the gospel is simple. It comes when you open up a door like a fittering sparrow or a darting swallow or undeserved curse does not come. Now, that's in the NIV. Now, we're going to read it to you in the King James Version, and Big Mike going to go to Proverbs 26, verse 2.
Okay, Proverbs 26, verse 2. As the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come.
It does not come unless there is a cause. Remember that. It does not come unless there is a call or a door to be opened. History of blessing and curses. This is for everybody to write this down. Big Mike's not going to read the whole thing because it's too long. The history of blessings is in the Torah, first four books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, Leviticus. Chapter 26, verse 1 through 13. Hit two or three scriptures on it, Big Mike. Leviticus 23, 1 through 13. This is speaks of blessings. Hit three verses, Big Mike.
All right. Leviticus chapter 26. Ye shall make no idols nor graven image, neither rear up a standing image, neither shall ye set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord thy God. Ye shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
If ye walk in my statutes.
Hold up, Big Mike. Did he say something about the Sabbath?
Yes, he did.
Go back, Big Mike, and see, did it say Sunday?
Nope. It said, you shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary.
I can't hear you.
I am the Lord.
He said what now? He said, you, do it again. I can't hear. I got a little amnesia. What did it say?
He said, ye shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord.
Ye shall keep my Sabbath. Y'all don't even pay no attention. They just blow by you like it's just nothing. Lord have mercy to these people. Lord bless them. Okay, give me curses for disobedience. Leviticus 26:14. Read three verses, Big Mike.
But if ye will not hearken unto me, and will not do all these commandments, and if ye shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that ye will not do all my commandments, but that ye shall break my covenant, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague, that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart. And you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. And I will set my
That's
face against you, and you shall be slain before your enemies.
That's a curse.
They that hate
That's
you
a curse.
Shall reign over you, and you shall flee when none pursueth you.
Now, I want everybody to know that sickness is a curse. Write this down. You're in class. You will be a powerful believer. If you write this and believe the Lord and trust him, you'll be a curseologist. Sickness is a curse. Deuteronomy 28:15-68. Read it. It is a curse. I'm going to give you a general statement about curses. What does the Bible say about general statements of it? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 33. Big Mike, give me Proverbs 3:33.
Proverbs chapter 3, verse 33. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just.
The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. So this is how you get curses. Now, you may have, like I said, bloodline curses. You may be affected and not know. We're going to get into all of this. So I want all of you to please pay attention and come back tomorrow night. We have a lot to cover. And the Lord is telling me this easy with it, piece by piece by piece, so you can get the picture. All right, Big Mike, here is a spoken curse that the Bible speaks of. We're going to get in some serious in-depth with this. Give me James chapter 3, verse 10. James 3, 9 and 10, I'm sorry.
Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed of blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so be.
Now, I'm going to show you everybody the Bible that see me at the church. Everybody see this Bible. There are three component numbers, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It is very amazing to find out that in this Bible, that the last word in the Old Testament deals with something that what we are talking about even as we speak. In Malachi, chapter 4, verse 6. This is the last chapter of Malachi. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers of the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. That's the last word God spoke out of the Old Testament. And it is amazing to see in the middle of the Bible, between Matthew and Revelation, right in the middle of it, you will see Galatians. Oh, Jesus Christ. And in Galatians, you will see Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. And Brother Mike's going to read that to you. And that is in the middle, because Christ stands in the middle between humans and God as a mediator for sin and for curses to be broken off you. That's a benefit from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if you see in the book of Galatians, chapter 3:13, right in the heart, in the middle of the Bible, isn't that fantastic? Give it to me, Big Mike.
Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree.
He did not hang on a cross. He hung on a tree. That's very important that you see this. Now, I want to tap on this real quick before we go back to curses, because I want to teach something real quick out of this and go back in curses. Mike, give me Acts 5:30.
Acts chapter 5, verse 30. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree.
Did it say cross?
Nope. Hanged on a tree.
Okay. It said that twice, right? Okay, give me 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. I'm getting feedback, Mike.
Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed.
On the what?
Tree. On the tree.
Never say cross. Stay silent with the scriptures. He died on a tree. Now, we're about to get ready and close, but we're going to move in to spoken curses before we close. Because we got to open up the lines. We got 51 minutes, and there's a lot of people want to talk and get with us. Please come in the room at air code 646-378-1857 and learn about this wonderful topic that God has given us in his word to free us from bondages of the enemy. The power of words are curse and blessings. These are self-imposed curses that we can put upon ourselves. The Bible says that there's blessing and curses come out of our mouth, and it's ought not to be. And we're out of time. I wish I could keep going, but I don't have that much time with the blog talk room. We're only adequate for about 2 hours, and we only have 40 more minutes in the blog talk room to open up questions and answers. I hope that you've been blessed by this. We're going to continue volume 2 tomorrow. We're going to move in spoken curses. We're going to move in all types of curses, trusting in yourself. We're going to break down the bastard curse when you're born out of wedlock. We're going to get to that. So don't worry. We're going to get to all of that, and then we're going to do some curse breakings. Amen. Now, if any of you feel that you need to accept the Lord as your personal Savior, you have this opportunity to accept Christ. The Bible says if we confess our fault, that he is just and able to forgive all unrighteousness. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. If you're in the world, you're cursed. Can't be blessed if you're in the world. And at the end of this, we're going to do a generational break, a curse breaking. So come back in the room, learn, accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you haven't done that, Lord Jesus, I come in the name of Jesus. I ask that you forgive me for all of my sins, known and unknown. If we confess with our mouth He's destined to forgive us for all unrighteousness, 1 John 1:9. And if we believe in my mouth and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, thou shalt be saved, Romans 10:9. If you've done that, email us at overtonav1@gmail.com. If you're looking for a home, come on here at Live Deliverance Internet Radio. We may not have a church building, but we got a lot of word of knowledge going. We got a lot of sound doctrine. The Holy Spirit has spilt out to us so much information on the ministry of deliverance. I thank God for allowing me to see this ministry grow. I thank the Lord for all of your prayers and for your offerings. Please continue to support us with your financial offer. It is much needed. God bless you, Sister Jackson. Love you. We're going to call you and see how you're doing. God bless the Jackson family. They've been a blessing to us out of Oklahoma. Wilmore family, Sister Collins, Brother Dixon, Brother Mark, Brother Samuel, Sister Ruthie in Israel. I can keep going on and on and on. God bless you and shalom. And we're finna open up this room. Amen. Oh, don't forget to tell somebody about Live Deliverance. I forgot about that. Don't forget to tell someone to subscribe to Live Deliverance Internet Radio and sow a seed. Good night. Okay. All right, Big Mike, we're going to open up lines. You now have the mic, Big Mike. You got the mic, Big Mike.
Amen. All right, folks, let's get ready to open up lines. We're going to start with Brother John first so we can get his summarization of tonight's teaching.
Okay. Amen, amen, and amen. Let me see if I can run this by right quick. Okay, my brother started off talking about what a curse is, and then he went on and says that in the Bible times, a curse was considered to be more than a mere wish that evil would befall one enemy. He said, in the account of temptation and fall, God himself is described as cursing the serpents as well as the ground. He said, although the word is curse is not used directly at Adam and Eve, the woman is sentenced to pain in childbirth. Also said, in the New Testament, Jesus cursed the fig tree. And immediately the fig tree, you know, withered away. He also mentioned about the Apostle Paul spoke up the law as a curse because it pronounced a curse upon everyone who does not what? Continue all the things that are written in the book. And he said that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse, what, for us on that tree? And he says, curses everyone who hangs on the tree. He said, John promised that the day is coming when there shall be no more curse in Revelation 22:3. And all those whose names are written in the Lamb Book of Life will enjoy the abundance of blessings. And then here's another stuff I really love. He gave some indications of a curse. He says, a mental and emotional breakdown. That's in Deuteronomy 28:20. Another indication of a curse, repeated chronic illnesses and sickness and this kind of a thing. He also said barrenness, repeated miscarriages, breakdowns of the family and marriages is a curse. Also, he said continuing financial and material lack is a curse, and being accident prone is a curse. And you also have where you have a history of suicides, unnatural death in families, and that could be a curse too. Then he made some, I hope I'm not going too fast, then he made some general statements. He said a curse is in the house of the wicked. In Proverbs 3:33, he said a curse can come from the mouth. James 3:9-10, he just mentioned. He said a curse does not come without a cause. He said there's always a reason why somebody got a call, got a curse on their butt. Then he also talked about some back in the Old Testament. He said first curses in the Bible. You had the first curse with the serpent. Then you had the second curse where Eve given problem with childbirth, you know. And then that third curse where poor little Adam had to do the grounds. And then with respect to Deuteronomy, he said the blessing of disobedience. You can find that in Deuteronomy, the 20th chapter. The blessing of obedience. You find that in Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 14. And then the curses of disobedience, you find that in Deuteronomy 28, picking up at verse 15 through 16. And let's see what else I got. I have, okay, he talked about the first curse spoken by a man, Genesis 9:25. And Noah said, cursed be Canaan, a servant shall be without his brethren. Jesus cursing themselves and their children, Matthew 27:25. He said, let his blood be on us and on our children. That's where the Israelites brought a curse on themselves. General statement about curses.
He says, Proverbs 3:33, he said, the Lord curses on the house of the wicked. James chapter 3, verses 9 and 10 says, without the tongue, we curse, with the tongue, we curse men. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessings. Let me see if I miss anything. A curse is a penalty. A curse is an empowerment to fail. He says, words for blessing and curse occur, oh yeah, over 600 times. He said, words for blessing occur about 430 times. And words for curse occurs about 160 times. General statement, a curse is the house of the wicked. A curse can come from the mouth. And a curse does not come without a cause. And then he said, scriptural reasons for curses from God, disobedience to God's voice, disobedience to the commandments of the Lord. Okay, let me see. Do I have anything else? Let me peep, 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 peep. Let me see on this other page. You have what you call spoken curses, curses that defiles a man, and that's about it. I hope I didn't go too fast, guys. I hope I didn't.
Okay.
Amen.
Okay. Error code 775. You now have the mic. Air code 775.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am. We can't hear you.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am. How you doing?
I'm all right.
Who is this? What's your name?
This is Asha.
This Asha?
Yeah.
Sister Asha.
Asha, where in the world have you been? Huh?
I
can't hear you.
Yes, just like.
Where are you at, Austin?
I want to go. I stay temporarily in Texas.
Where?
Texas.
Who you staying with, Asa?
I currently stay at a family member's house.
Can I call you when I get off air?
Okay.
All right. I'm going to call you when I get off air, okay?
Okay.
All right. I'll call you when I get off air. Big
okay.
Mike, you picked that up, didn't you? All right, sister. I'll call you. Good to
yes,
hear
sir.
From her. All right. Big Mike, give us 918.
Hello.
Hello, Sister Jackson?
Yes.
Did you get... you give me the shout-out, didn't you?
Oh.
Brothers and sisters, this is Sister Jackson, Mr. and Mrs. Jackson from Oklahoma. They support this ministry, and they've been listening to us, and it's been a blessing to know her. And she's going to be with us, and I'm going to give her the mic.
Oh, I'm just listening in.
Did you get blessed tonight?
Yes, just listening and taking notes.
Okay, because we're going to go back to it tomorrow, so I'm going to see you tomorrow night, right?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay, and I'll call you tomorrow to let you know the appointment with me and Sister Durden when she get back.
Okay, okay.
Okay, we have a inside-out question. Wait a minute. Okay, this is directed to Brother John Durden. Dr. Dillington, I've been waiting to get a hold of you. Listen. This is what he's saying. I want you to explain to me more profoundly about this written word thing. Tongues have ceased, and all of this does not be needed. God's word is sufficient for everything. Please bring me come back, please.
Okay, he wants, if I'm understanding, he's questioning about the written word as opposed to ministering in the gifts kind of a thing. Okay, if you look back and just look at basic definition, man, the written word. My understanding of the written word, that it refers to the biblical language as expressed in writing. Whatever we write, you know, and then when we articulate with writing, we are doing the word.
Second, the biblical written word of God is God's revelation of his people with regard to enhancing what? Their capacity to know and love him. In other words, God articulate or communicate to his prophets or to his apostles what he wants us to do, what is considered obedience and disobedience to him. And so he writes it down. And what he writes down, the written word, is giving instruction to what he wants us to do that's displeasing him and what we are not to do that is considered disobedience. And also, the written word is that which God, when the written word is followed by the letter, okay, the Lord bears witness with the reader by signs and wonders. In other words, the written word is instructions, guidance, what satisfy him, what disturbs him, what he considered obedience, what he considered disobedience, and these kinds of things, and we need to follow it. I want to give a scripture. Romans 15, verses 18 and 19. It says, yeah, let me turn to it right quick. Okay, it says, for I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about into Illyrium, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Now, but I went to another version, the New International Version, which really break it down. He says, Paul says, I would not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done. Here we go. By the power of signs and wonders through the power of the Spirit of God. So from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel. What he's saying is that God confirmed the preaching and the teaching of the believers. Back in the first centuries on up to now, wherever you see a minister who says, I believe that 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, where all the gifts in the ministry are communicated, is still relevant to today. Now, let me tell you something else. Tongues, it was in 1 Corinthians 13:8. Tongues has not ceased. Now, this is what I want to say. Time is described as when that which is perfect is to come at the end of history, when the believer's knowledge and character becomes perfect in eternity after Christ's second coming. In other words, what I just said was, it's not just to the first century. God meant for the gifts to carry on all the way through every century until he comes back. He didn't cut out preaching and teaching. He gave the church ministry gifts. You know, he called some pastors, some evangelists, some teachers, you know. And so he didn't say stop after the first century. That was to bless the church. He gave gifts to the church with respect to teaching and ministering to the people. And then he gave gifts to the believers that they can be warriors, that they can be victory over those demonic and spiritual beings. There is no indication whatsoever that scriptures cut out the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He says, such gifts are valuable and indispensable accompaniment of the Holy Spirit ministry in the church. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit that gives us. Without them, believers fail to strengthen and help one another as God desires. Nowhere in Paul's letter does he seek to eliminate the gifts. Rather, he seeks to change the attitude of the Corinthians towards spiritual gifts so they may see their gifts according to God's intention. God gives us these gifts because we're fighting demonic spirits. We can't fight demonic spirits with guns and pistols and cuss them out, go to hell, and all this other kind of thing. They look at us and just laugh. So God give us gifts. And how are you going to minister to somebody sometimes when a person calls, I got to shut up because there's other questions. I'll end with this. When people call, sometimes they give you a problem, you know, and say, I'm having this problem, but they don't tell you the whole nine story. They don't tell you everything. They just give you a pocket. Maybe they distrust you, don't know if you're for real. And by the word of knowledge, God will
revealed to that minister the whole nine yards with that person going through. And when he revealed that through the gift of the word of knowledge, he said, you must be real. You must be a man of God. And he opened up and then fully tell that person what's wrong with them. It's not for
Amen.
The first
we got
ages,
to go to the next question. Okay, we got the next question. We got a lot to cover. All right, Reverend Stillman to Brother Michael. Do you listen to Creflo Dollar, Eddie Long? Do you listen to Paula White? Do you listen to Reverend Leroy Thompson, which is my favorite? He says Reverend Leroy Thompson, his main man. Please give him comeback.
No, sir. I do not listen to any of those preachers, teachers, whatever they want to call themselves. I don't listen to any of them.
I want to show people something. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Big Mike, give me Mark chapter 3. Let me answer this question for a lot of you, pastors that's not dealing with deliverance. Now, some of you call yourself called by God, but I'm going to show you that I don't think that you're called, or I think that you're missing something.
So we're going to straighten this out. Big Mike, give me Mark chapter 3.
All right.
And give me 3:13, 14, and 15.
And he goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him.
Whoa.
He ordained 12.
Who's all this? Mike, who's the he? Who that is? Jesus?
Yes, sir.
That's Jesus, right?
That's Jesus.
Huh? That's not Creflo Dollar, is it? So is that Creflo Dollar?
No, sir.
Is that
Leroy
Thompson, Paula White, TD?
No. Okay.
Now, all these names that I just named, I want you to see, are they doing what Jesus did to his first apostles? Now, these people call themselves apostles, but there is an apostle called the Apostles of the Lamb. Those are the 12 original apostles, and that could never be. And Jesus Christ founded his church on these 12 men. And when he sent them up to a mountain, he did something very peculiar. So all of you need to listen to this, because I personally believe if no pastor's not following this, I don't even want to deal with him. Let's do it.
And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and to have power to heal sickness, and to cast out devils. And Simon,
now, every pastor is supposed to keep going.
I'm sorry.
That was it. That was it, Big Mike?
Yes, sir.
Read the key.
Sir. And he goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would, and they called unto him. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and to have power to heal sicknesses, and to cast out devils.
Now, this is what Jesus did with his 12. And some people sitting on the pastor that don't even do none of those. I wouldn't even set up on that. That's what's wrong with the church. The church is divided. Because deliverance of ministry is the children's bread ministry. That's it. We're out of time. Reverend Stillman, they really thanked us for that. We just want to thank everyone. Big Mike, God bless everybody. Hey, questions, answers over with. The church is going to intermission, and I will not have time for intermission because in 30 minutes, I got to do an exorcism. Close us out, Big Mike.
Amen. Precious and kind Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, once again for another blessed day, another blessed teaching, Father. Thank you, Father, for another chance, Father, to be able to bask in your glory, Father. We give you all glory, honor, and praise, Father, and ask that you will bless those in attendance who are listening, Father, and bless those, Father, who are members in the ministry and those who will become members, Father. Continue to have mercy upon us, Father, as we strive to serve you and do our best, Father, to give you all glory, honor, and praise. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus of Nazareth, we give you praise, honor, glory. Amen.
Now, this is some music that we're going to be playing for those who've never heard it. This is Brother Jermaine Edwards out of Jamaica, Spanish Town, Jamaica. I've been with him for about 11 years. He's a wonderful musician. You can get his stuff. Go to Jermaine Edwards and pull it up anywhere. You can buy stuff on any social site that sells MP3s, including Amazon. from Spanish Town, Jamaica, Jermaine Edwards.
So many roads right there before me. Looks enticing, but I know that's not what God wants for me. Won't go no further unless I know He's leading me.
On behalf of Live Deliverance Internet Radio Ministries, we want to thank all our participations here in these United States of America, across the country. We want to thank the nations that has been listening to us, Guam, Jamaica, South America, Venezuela, Finland, Great Britain, Israel, Mozambique, South Africa, Nairobi, Kenya, New Zealand, and Canada. Our minister of staff is Apostle Candace Durden, Assistant Pastor Brother Michael Smith, Secretary Snuggle, Sister Sheila Newborn, Sister Ruthie Rami, who helps me with my emails. We've been in the ministry for 11 years. We're dedicated to that of casting out of demons and teaching the ministry of exorcism. On behalf of Live Deliverance Internet Radio, shalom.
I feel free when you're in my life, Lord. I feel free. Feel free.